I was excited. I volunteered to go into the military. I was gung-ho, 19-year-old kid, wanted to serve my country.
What surprised me the most is the resilience of our guys, the tenacity, the guts that these young kids, under some horrible conditions, I was always amazed at how we just kept trucking along and doing what we knew we had to do.
God had been so great to me. He got me through some severe combat things. I mean, rockets flying over you and bullets and things of that nature. You know, a lot of my friends, they didn't come back.
The agreement that we made with the NATO alliance is that we're not bringing any Bibles, any crucifixes, anything like that. We can't bring anything of religious Christianity into Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. He said, but I'm going to allow you to bring your Bible because I know your background and I feel you're sincere. So we started having church services. Then the next week we had a service and then another service and another service. And a couple of days before the ground war, I was having a service at the Kuwait war. And we had 2,500 people at this service. They said it's the largest Christian service recorded in the history of Saudi Arabia. We had Saudis, Kuwaitis, different countries were in the service. They showed it on CNN. My dad saw me on TV.
We as citizens need to understand there have seen things and witnessed things that no human being ever cares to see or witness again.
I had one who was apologizing to me for being around. When a mortar round exploded, and he's apologizing to me. And he's saying, I'm sorry, sir. I'll do better next time. When I get better, I'll come back. I'll make you proud. And I told him that I am proud. And he died just minutes later.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning on this Veterans Day weekend. And we just want to take a moment to recognize all of you men and women who have served in the United States Armed Forces. If you could just rise to your feet at this time so we can recognize you and pray for you. While you're still standing, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And since you've been in the military, you know how to line up. I'm going to ask that you line up here from my right to my left. And we're going to, we just want to recognize you in another way. So if you could please come forward. Thank you. He's not a veteran. Some of you will notice that the Erzin family has a new addition to their family. And this is.
His name is Calvin James Benito Erzin.
Does he want to say anything? Congratulations, Erzin family. We're going to start down here, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hand you the microphone, and if you'll please just give us your name and the branch of service that you served in, and then pass the microphone to your left. And I will meet it on the end.
Dale Tung, United States Navy, in the 70s.
Carol Pisano, U.S. Army.
Dan Green, U.S. Navy.
Frank Fessler, U.S. Army.
U.S. Army, North Korea, and South Korea. Thank you.
Paul Johnson, U.S. Army.
Dan Parsons, United States Navy.
Dan Johnson, United States Marine Corps, Vietnam.
Bob O'Neill, Army National Guard.
Kevin Mason, United States Navy.
Jeff Norwood, Army.
Michelle, Marine Corps.
Matthew Erzin, Marine Corps.
Joanne George, United States Coast Guard.
Randy Culp, U.S. Army.
Laura Cornell, U.S. Navy.
Joe Anderson, U.S. Army.
Dan Watson, U.S. Navy.
Dave Schmidt, U.S. Navy.
So while these men and women are here, let's just all rise to our feet and we're going to pray for them and ask God to bless them this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the amazing blessing that you have showered upon our nation. Lord, you establish countries, the time of their existence and their boundaries. And Lord, we know that each country exists for a time. And while that country, any country is in existence, you provide men and women to watch, to guard, to perfect, to defend, to protect and defend. And Lord God, we just thank you for the men and women standing in front of us now, for the households that they represent, Father, and for all those that they represent who have served in the generations before them, alongside each of them, and for those who are serving now, and those who will serve in the future. Father, we just recognize them, and we recognize them as being blessings from you, and we ask that you bless them, protect them, and provide for them. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Do we have any active duty personnel who are currently active duty? Hey, Brian. So we do have one. He would have come down, but he'd have to throw a rope down to get down here. That goes for you too, Brian. So we have a card down here for you, Brian, when you find your way downstairs. It's my privilege now to introduce the Pereira family, and Andrew and Carmen, thank you for sharing the word of the Lord with us this morning and for sharing about your ministry. And so the Pereiras are from Brazil, and our church supports their family down there, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, we are very happy to be here again. And I want to share a little bit about our family. So we have three kids, and they're sitting right there, but you're gonna see a picture also. Rebecca, she's 13 years old. She loves to bake and loves to sketch. And Timothy, he's 10 years old, and he likes to build robots and play soccer. And Deborah, she is 5 years old, and she is mommy's helper, and she let me know when, after the first service, I said this. I sat down and she said, "You forgot to tell the people that I like to play with Play-Doh." So she likes to play with Play-Doh. And we are very happy to have these three kids God has given us. Rebecca got baptized beginning of this year, and Timothy already accepted Jesus in his life, and Deborah understood also what salvation means, and it seemed like she made a decision also. And always when you pray for our family and the ministry, remember to pray for our kids too. I always say that my main mission field is my kids, and that they may grow closer to God, so you can please pray for that too. Thank you.
There are 8 billion people alive today. There has never been as many people alive as there is today. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about that? Probably each one of you has a different point of view, like 8 billion people. That's a lot of people. I was looking at some researches. When I was born back in 1981, there were 4 million people. That's half. In 42 years, it doubled. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Maybe you think about it, you think, how are we going to feed all these people? Or maybe you think, how are we going to lodge all these people? Will they have work? Will they have a place to stay and everything else? And we stop and think, out of these 8 billion people, how many know the Lord? Researchers show that maybe 2 billion to 2.4 billion people profess Christianity, but there is still a lot of people out there that do not know the Lord. There is probably around 6 billion people that do not know the Lord or profess Him as their Savior. When you stop and think, do you think God knew about that? Do you think He knew the population would grow that much? Well, when we read in the Bible, Adam and Eve, what does God tell them? Go and multiply. So I'm sure He was aware of that. When Noah, when we had the flood and everything, what does He tell them? Go and multiply. So the Lord was fully aware that, yes, population was going to grow and there were going to be a lot of people. And then you stop and think, the lost people, the 6 billion people. For God, who's more important? A lost soul in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in Brazil, or your neighbor? For God, who's more important? Every single soul for God is important. And whose function is it to take the word of God to them? Is it only pastors? Is it only missionaries? It's each one of us that knows the Lord as our Savior. That's what we are called to do, to share the gospel. Is it easy to share the gospel? To your neighbor. Maybe you have a neighbor and you're like, hi, bye, the weather, this and that. But have you ever shared the gospel, the word of God with him? Many times as Christians, we're afraid to do that, aren't we? Because if you share the word of God and he says no, like, that's your religion, and he turns his face and doesn't want to talk with you anymore. As human beings, is that easy? No, we like to be accepted. We like to see the smile, to get the yes. But when we get a no, that's hard on us. So what do you have to be able to share the gospel with the unsaved, with your neighbor, with your friend? Here at church, it's easy to share the gospel. You know, it's pretty safe. Like, yeah, if I say something, everybody will agree with me. But out in the world, once you step out of the doors, what do you need to be able to share the gospel? First, you need to know the Lord, of course. But what else? You have to have faith, don't you? You have to have your faith put where? You have to be like, I believe I can do this. Is that the way it works? I can do this. I'll do this. It's all about me. That's what the world teaches us, isn't it? That I can be empowered and do anything. But as Christians, what does the Bible tell us to do? To humble ourselves. Is it easy for you to humble yourself? and realize that we are not able to do that, and fill ourselves with Christ, and look at Christ. And when we have faith, what do? We just look forward, look to Christ, knowing that He's the one that's in control, that's going to guide us, even when it's difficult, even when things are hard, He will be with us. And how do we come to faith? In the Bible it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Why do you think schools want to get rid of the Word of God? Why do you think so many places do not want to allow the Bible to be there, to be shared? Because if they allow it, and people are reading the Bible, sharing the Bible, what will happen? People will come to faith. And that goes against what the world wants. And people do not come to faith because many times we're not willing to share the Word of God with other people. And then they do not come to faith. And we're working with kids, and many times it's hard to know where each person is with the Lord. So we thought, and the easiest way we came to the conclusion is sharing them from the beginning. Genesis. That's the beginning. And the first thing I ask the kids there that we work with, I ask them, okay, what happens when you light up a firecracker and throw it? They're like, that's pretty simple. It explodes. Like, I ask them, no, but you light up a firecracker and you throw it, it explodes, and then the cat goes running away. They're like, what are you talking about? This is strange. Or you light up a firecracker and throw it, and the flower comes to be. They're like, have you ever done this? Now, their kids have access to firecrackers, not only in the Independence Day. They have access 24/7 down there. They're professionals. And they're like, no, you light it up, it explodes. And I asked them, okay, but at school, what did you learn? You guys learned the explosion happened and the world came to be. And they're like, I think we've been tricked. This does not follow through. So that's where we begin teaching them the Bible, and teaching them about who God is. If you go and share with them John 3:16, they'll say, okay, that's your God, not mine. So the first thing we have to do is teach them who God is. And when you stop and read in Genesis, the first thing God creates, what does He create? And God said, may there be light. And there was light. Without light, could we be here today? Would we exist? No, we wouldn't. And when we talk about these 6 billion people, they're in darkness. They do not know the Lord. They do not know they're even lost because they don't even know where they are. And when God created light and says in the Bible that we are supposed to be light in the middle of darkness, even though that many times it's hard to be light, that's what we're in the world to be light. And in the Bible, we can read that the disciples, they were in a boat, and they saw Jesus coming. The first thing they did, what did they do? They said it was a ghost. Like, they were afraid. But then Peter said, if it's really you, Jesus, let me go with you. And what happens? Does he go walking on top of the water and gets to Jesus okay? No, he starts to sink. And why does that happen? Because he starts looking around. He sees the wind. He sees, like, this is dangerous. He lets fear take over. And he starts looking to the sides, not looking to Jesus. He starts looking to the sides. Many times in our life, it's the same way. If we stop and start looking around the circumstances, the waves, the wind, and not looking to Jesus, our faith sometimes is diminished. And sometimes we aren't able to share about our faith because we're afraid. We fear something. And even worse, if we let sorrow take over. Like when they were in the desert, what did they tell Moses? Yeah, Moses, like, where are we going? Like, in Egypt, we were slaves, you know, but it wasn't that bad. At least we had things, and you know, back there it was pretty good. Many times we do the same thing. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, but then we start looking back. Does the Lord look, does he go back and pull our files way back then? No, once we accept the Lord and ask forgiveness, he forgets that. But many times we like to do that and we aren't looking forward to the Lord, we're looking back. And that many times is what keeps us from sharing the gospel. Because we are afraid, we're looking to our past. How can I share with somebody else having such a past? But we have to remember that our faith is in the Lord. We have to empty ourselves and just look to the Lord. And if you have never put your faith in the Lord, today is the day to put your faith in the Lord. The day of tomorrow, do you know what's going to happen? We don't know. In Brazil, we were working with a group of kids, and one of the kids was in a car accident and passed away. And when that happened, it was for the kids like, this is real. Like, he was with us yesterday, and he's not here anymore. And it was interesting. We were sharing with the kids, and I told them, yeah, just like the boy that passed away, he thought he would have forever. He wasn't worried about his life. And it's the same way with all of us here. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. So if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is the day, because you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. And put your faith in Jesus Christ and God Almighty. When you stop and read in Genesis and creation and everything else, it's just marvelous to see that we serve an Almighty God. He just had to speak and it happened. In Revelations, we can read that in the end times, in the last battle, when Jesus comes back, will he have to go to war with them? No, just from the word of his mouth, everything will come to be. He will win the battle, just word of his mouth. We read that and try to imagine how that will be, because our mind's always there. A big war with a lot of... No, he will just come and speak. That's the Lord. That's who we serve as believers. It's just comforting to know that we serve an Almighty God that can do anything much more than we can even imagine. And then you stop and think, how is my faith today? It's hard when we have questions to ourselves. And this is a question you can do daily. Where is my faith set at? Is it in the Lord? What is faith? Maybe that's a question you have. And it's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, you read that, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So yeah, you have to be centered, and it's interesting that every time you share the gospel with somebody, you're strengthened. Because you're being the channel for God to make a difference in somebody's life. Maybe the first time you share the gospel, it's hard. But the second time, I can reassure you, it will be a little easier. And once you get used to doing it, it will be automatic. But we just have to start. And many times it's hard to start because we have to go out of our comfort zone, risk a little bit, maybe get a no, but soon enough, you'll get an yes, you'll get somebody that's interested, and you'll be able to guide them in the Word of God. It's just neat to see how once a person understands the Word of God and they're thirsty, you have a chance to discipleship them also in the Word of God. They will grow, and you will grow in the Word of God. And I would like to challenge you this week to share the gospel with somebody. It's hard, yes, it's hard. Maybe you'll say, how can I do that? Well, you can pray, and I'm sure the Lord will guide you to somebody, and you'll have the opportunity to do that. And in Brazil, with the kids we're working with, we give them Bible verses. It's neat to see that they get the Bible verses, and they memorize the Bible verses, and they get equipped. So if you need Bible verses, you can get one of these back there, and there's simple Bible verses that you can start from there. Share a Bible verse with somebody. You can share a Bible verse. The person won't say, I don't agree with that. But you'll at least have a starting point and you can work from there. And we're down in Brazil, so we're working with kids. in Brazil, let me see, here's our family, Carmen already presented. So this is Rebecca, our oldest daughter, Timothy, he's 10 years old, and Deborah, she's 5 years old. And we're serving in Brazil. Brazil's the largest country in South America. It's interesting that in Brazil we speak Portuguese, and all the countries around us speak Spanish. And it's a cultural barrier and a language barrier, where Brazilians understand Spanish, but when you speak Portuguese back, they're like, I don't understand what you're saying. So it's interesting, we got some people from Venezuela when they had the crisis there. People came in and they had the hard time. They had to learn Portuguese, because in Brazil, if you have to learn a second language, usually Brazilians want to learn English to go to come up to the U.S., I guess, like the rest of Latin America, or go to Europe. So if they need to learn, it's English they're going to learn. And we are living in the coast area of Brazil. We're about an hour from the ocean. We were living up here north in Brazil. We moved down about 8 hour car drive. We're near the city of São Paulo. We're about an hour away from São Paulo. We're serving at Haven of Hope. Haven of Hope was founded back in 2001 by American missionaries. And we get kids from a state school that have difficulties learning. So these are kids from second and third grade that for some reason they were not able to learn how to read and write. So they're kids that have maybe mental difficulties, maybe they're going through adoption program. We have even kids that are under witness protection programs. And it's interesting, we received a list from the school with all these kids, and then we're able to work with them. And it's interesting that we have to get to know each one of these kids. And at school, there's one teacher for each 40 kids. So if you start falling back, like, sorry, you're left behind. In the school, and the kids at school, if they don't know how to read and write, like, why are we coming here? And what happens? I guess it's the rule of the jungle. If others tease you, you just beat them up, and now we have bullies. And the kids we get usually are the bullies at school, because the other ones tease them, and they beat up the other kids and become bullies and continue on because they aren't learning how to read and write, and the other kids make fun of them. So back in 2021, I assumed as the executive director for the Haven of Hope. 2020, they closed down the organization because it was pandemic. Like in Brazil, everything was in lockdown. We didn't know if we were going to survive as human beings. So they closed it down in 2021 when I took over. We opened the organization back up and started receiving kids. And this is the building we work in. It's interesting that the building doesn't have nothing on the front of it. And that enabled us to continue during the pandemic to receive kids. Because they had lockdown, so the police would go by and like it's a normal house. We don't have to knock there. And that's the way we continued on working during the pandemic. So we have a Portuguese classroom, a math classroom, a computer classroom, and in the back where we have the devotions with the kids. And this is a group of the kids that come. We have the teachers, a coordinator, and I work there with the taking care of everything from plug toilet to signing papers, everything. That's my service. And the kids that come, it's interesting to see that they all know that they're there for a reason, because they need to learn, and they have difficulties learning. And the first thing we do, we teach them songs, Christian songs. And Brazilians like to sing, so they pick up pretty quick. Some of the kids were in the Sunday school. We sang a Brazilian song for them. It's neat to see how they pick up that and go back home, sing the songs. And the first thing we teach them is about God and who God is. It's interesting that when we get into where Adam and Eve sinned, they're like, why did they sin? I told them, that's a question I have to make to the Lord. Like, why did they sin? And then they understand what sin is. And we teach them what sin is everything you think, say, or do that does not please me. No, that's not the standard. It's everything we think, say, or do that does not please the Lord. And that's a different standard, because some of these kids come from very hard backgrounds, and sin for them may be very different. So when it's God, he's the one that defines things, it's different. So we teach them, you have sinned, and now you're separated from God. But God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for each one of you, and he loves you. And you can accept him as your Savior, and your heart will be clean again, without sin, and you can go to heaven. And we do that with Bible verses. So the kids receive a Bible verse. Every month they receive a new one. They receive the Bible verses and they're like, you have to be kidding me. I do not know how to read and you give me a Bible verse? Like, come on, it's hard enough in school and now you're giving me a Bible verse? We tell them, no, get this Bible verse, take it back home, and whoever's taking care of you, ask them to read it to you. They're like, okay. So they take it back home, and whoever is taking care of them reads it to them. The first Bible verse they have is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then they understand, okay, all of us have sinned. We're separated from God. It's interesting, once they memorize the Bible verse, for them, now they know how to read. Now they're on it. So they'll come and say the Bible verse. They'll even say, look, I can read without even looking. That's pretty good, isn't it? And so now they're proud and we teach them what the verses mean. And they start taking it to everybody. Oh, you know, I didn't know how to read. Now I know how to read. Look at this. I'll read this card to you. So they start sharing the gospel with other kids. And by the end of the year, there are 8 cards. And some of them have 2 Bible verses. So they're about 10 verses. By the end of the year, they know these by heart. Because this, for them, they learned how to read here. They understand what the Bible verses mean. And they know how to explain them. And that's what we do. The Portuguese, math, art classes, computer lessons, those are the bait to get them in. Because we're there to discipleship them. By the end of the year, they know how to take someone to Christ. Because they know the Word of God. And they know how to explain it. If you have questions, I tell them, just come to us and we'll help you also. So they're equipped. And this was during the COVID. We had some less kids, but it was neat that the kids, if they got COVID, they wouldn't come for 3 weeks. And we went through 2021-22 with no case of COVID there and no spread out. Some of the kids got it, but they would stay at home. But we didn't have any spreading. It was neat to see where the teachers at the school, the school was in lockdown. We continued on receiving the kids. And these were the kids with learning difficulties. When the classes came back in, the teachers told us they're doing better than the kids that didn't have any learning difficulties. So it's neat to see that, yeah, they were there, and it's neat to see how the Lord was working in their hearts. And like, this is Maria. You look at her like a sweet girl, but you come to know her past. She was born in prison because her mom was in jail. So she stayed there for 6 months, went back home. Her grandmother takes care of her. And like, you ask her, Maria, what do you like to do? I like to go to prison to see my mom. So like, it's hard because like, how do you help? How do you give hope to somebody like that? And her grandmother is alcoholic too, but she memorizes the verses. She takes the word of God to her mother in prison. She takes the word of God to the other kids that live with her. And that's what we can do. We can share the gospel with her. Even though her past is very hard and harsh, we can show the love of God to her. And we have kids like Guilherme. His mother signed him up and he started coming with red hair, lipstick, earrings, nail polish. Like, what do we do with this boy? Like, they know we follow the Bible. This kid is coming like this and down there, just like up here, gender free, so you can't say anything. And if the school is accepting him like this, we prayed about it and said, we'll accept him like this also and just continue on praying for him. And one day he came with nothing on. We were like, does he have a twin brother? And like, what happened? So I went to him, Guilherme, what happened? He said, well, you've been teaching me in Genesis about God. He's Almighty God. He can do anything. He created all of us. He created men and women. You taught me about sin and what happened because of sin, how we were separated of God. And I understood that what I was doing was sin. It was just neat to see where he came to the conclusion that that was sin and that he did not want that for him anymore. And we were happy about this, where it came to be that he did this change, started coming as a normal boy. We came to know that his mother was a pastor's daughter, and she rebelled when she was young, left church and went to the world, had him, and that he would go back and he would give her the verses, read them to me, I'll memorize them. He memorized them. He would tell her the Bible story she was learning at Haven of Hope. And soon enough, she started remembering of the stories her father would tell her when she was little. And little by little, as it says in the Bible, the word of God never comes back void. She came to forgive her father, and the family was reunited. It was so neat to see, because she came and told us, like, the verses, they brought me to the understanding that I was in sin, that I needed to repent with my father, with my mother, and reunite with them. So we were happy about the boy understanding the gospel, but God had way more to do in the families. And even one of the teachers, she's the oldest teacher in the school, and she takes care of the same kids. Because in Brazil, the kids only go to school half a period. So they come to us in the morning, then they go back home, have lunch, and go to school in the afternoon, and she has them after the afternoon class. And she went over with this book, it's a comic book that the kids put together, of happy things that they were learning at Haven of Hope. And she came and asked, "What are you guys doing? I know these kids since kindergarten. Like, we basically forgot these kids because they couldn't learn. But something has been transforming the lives of these kids." And she's the mother to one of the pastors at our church, and he had been sharing the gospel with her, and she was, "No, that's your religion." But she comes and asks us, and I told her, "Yeah, what's transforming them is the word of God. It's transforming them inside out." And it's neat to see where she started to understand the gospel, and she was open to the gospel now that she saw the transformation in the kids' lives and saw that that was genuine. There wasn't, we were not manipulating the kids. The kids were understanding the word of God, changing their ways, changing their behavior, and now they were learning at school also. And we also have a kids' club where the kids come and stay with us for 1 year. After that year, we get a new set of kids in. So the kids that came in prior years, they can come on Saturdays and continue on learning with us. So Carmen, she's the one that does this. It's a kids club. We do it on Saturdays for kids that came in prior years. We get neighborhood kids. We get homeschool kids. We get a lot of kids there that just want to learn more about the Lord. We do the kids club. And the ones that see the transformation in the kids' lives firsthand are the mothers. So Carmen has been working with the mothers also, because they want to know what happened. These kids changed their behavior. What have they been learning? So we have a chance to share the gospel with the mothers also. And it's neat to see where the kids, they memorize the Bible verses. We tell them the Bible verses come from the Bible. Once they learn how to read, they get a Bible, they start digging in, because we're telling them Bible stories and they're all excited. We tell them the Jesus story, and they're like, "What happens next? What happens next?" I show them in the Bible, "Well, read here." And they go and read. They're all excited because this is all new to them. And they want to learn more about Jesus and the Bible. So it's neat when they start reading by themselves and reading their Bibles. And even the artwork they do, it's always related with the Bible stories. So they can go back home and share the gospel with whoever's with them at school. They get by the artwork. This one was about Jesus Christ, where he came and died for our sins and was crucified, but did not stay dead. He arose and is preparing a place for each one of us. So they take this back home, and they're new believers. They're on fire. They want to share it with everybody. It's neat how they're equipped now to do that. And one day, every time we go to pray with these kids, I tell them, "Okay, we're going to fold our hands, close our eyes, and when everybody's quiet, I'll start praying." And one day, one of the kids kneeled down. I was like, "What's happening?" And then another time, more kids kneeled down, and then I called the first one, "Samuel, why are you kneeling down when we go to pray?" He said, "Well, we learned that God, he's almighty. He's God from Genesis that created everything. The Bible verses tells us that we all are sinners. And we're praying to God Almighty. He deserves our respect. And that's why I'm kneeling down, because I'm ashamed of the sin. I know that He forgave me for this, but I'm praying to God Almighty, and He deserves my respect. It's just neat to see where the kids come to the understanding and to the conclusion that now they serve Almighty God that's worthy of everything. And maybe you're thinking, how can I be part of the ministry in Brazil, helping these kids? And the first thing you can do is pray. It's a true spiritual battle. You start worrying, if you share the gospel with somebody, you'll notice that there's a spiritual battle going on. It's not easy. And how do we win that battle? By prayer. So we need people praying for us. Many times it seems like we're alone down in the ministry in Brazil, far away. But if you're praying, that strengthens us to continue on there. Or maybe you want to give also. Brazilians ask me, okay, we know you serve here, you don't receive from Haven. Oh, how do you live? I tell them, the body of Christ and the state's church's people enable us to be down there. So maybe in your seat there's a card like this. I ask you, please take these cards back. Otherwise, they're not going to Brazil. So take them home. And on the back, there's a piece of paper. If you want to give to the ministry, this has all the information you need to that. And maybe you want to sponsor one of the kids. In the back, there's a table. There's these cards, Kid for Christ. You can sponsor a kid at Haven of Hope. You can come and get one of these cards. On the back, it has information. Or if you have questions, feel free to make, in the end of the service also, make the questions. And during the pandemic, we lost about one-third of our support. But the Lord has been blessing that we've been able to raise quite a bit of it. We still have to raise a little bit. So if you want to enable us to continue in the ministry, working with these kids, please take the card and pray about it. And there's all the information you need. And we also have the travel expenses, the printing, the material, the van we're using. So we have some extra expenses every time we come up to the States to visit the churches and supporters. And we just thank you for being here. The church supports us, some people support us here, and we just thank you for enabling us to be down there, because we're tools in God's hands. It's like when your car breaks down. What happens? You just get the tools and put them on top of the hood of the car, and next day the car is working? No, it's not that way. But that's the way that me and Carmen are there. We're tools in God's hands. The best we can do is be sharp tools, because everything that happens is for His glory. The changes we see in the kids' lives, we could never imagine would happen. But it's God working through us, and the glory is for God. And we thank you guys for being here and for letting us share what God is doing in Brazil and the blessing that these kids have been, even to us, as believers, in the changes that they have been doing in their own lives and houses. Thank you.
Carmen and Andrew, if you could come up here, and if our missions team and our elders and pastoral staff, if you could, we'd like to pray for you. And we didn't do this in the first service, but we'd love to do that. So if you just stand here, and any of those who are serving in our missions team, missions committee, or our missionaries, elders, deaconesses, if you're alive and breathing, come on down. And I'm going to ask Bill, so we like to lay hands on you guys in a friendly way. And let's come out here, Carmen and Stenix, your husband, and Bill, if you would pray and then hand the microphone to your wife, Dorothy, and then Dorothy, if you could hand it to John.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. We thank you for this couple, their family, Lord, for their willingness to be used and spent for you. And Lord, we seek your protection, your supply, your direction for them at every turn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, most of all and first of all for your word and the power it has amongst these people in Brazil. Thank you so much for Andrew and Carmen Pereira as they share the gospel with these kids, how important it is for them and for your honor and your glory. And Lord, just watch over especially their three children as they go back and forth and share here in the States and then return to their land. And I just pray that you will keep them close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. The gospel is simple, and we sometimes complicate it. And I appreciate the message that we just need to simply put your word out. We pray that you would use your word there in Brazil and in America and everywhere. We ask that you would provide every bit of support that they need, not just monetarily, but spiritually, physically, that this would be supplied. And I appreciate the prayers, the request for prayer for their children. Every missionary needs to go out with that thing, that if their first mission should be their own children. And I pray for them as well, that you would strengthen them, that they would be excited for the work that you're doing. And the excitement would grow in many directions. We appreciate the fact that there are parents of children and grandparents and others around the community that are seeing that it is the gospel that can transform us. We ask that you will let them go out with great strength and power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
This Thursday, we have our monthly gathering, Heritage Cafe. And so it's typically for those 55 and up. We have just a kind of a brunch. But if any of you want to come, we'd like to invite you. The Pereiras will be with us. That is this Thursday. It dawned on me that everything's coming early this month. The third Thursday of the month is actually this week, too. So that's Thursday at 10:30. So thank you so much again. Thank you for sharing the word with us and sharing your family with all of us. Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing on us as we go from here. Lord, we want to bless your name. We want to be a blessing, Lord, to you. We want our one ambition to be pleasing to the Lord. Lord, it was pleasing to you to give your son, and he was willing to lay his life down for us. We just thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice of your son, our God and Savior Jesus, and we thank you for the empty tomb that on the third day he rose from the grave, and that salvation comes simply by believing on the name of Jesus. Saying, yes, Lord, I've sinned. Yes, Father, I believe you sent your son to die on the cross for me. It was my death that he took upon himself, and my sins were laid on him. And because he died, and because he bled, and because he was risen from the grave and is alive now, I can be forgiven of all my sins. And when you see me, when you see us, because we've trusted in Jesus, you don't see our sin, but you see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise you for that gospel message. Lord, increase our faith. Help us not to be so selfish, thinking that our weakness is stronger than your strength, but to be ready to speak these words that Jesus died for sinners and that we can have eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to realize that the power is contained in those words, that it's your power, God, that changes hearts, not our convincing man. It's you who bring the dead to life, not us. And when we're rejected, it's not us, but you who are being rejected. Help us not to be taking ourselves so seriously and so focused on our weakness, but help us to remember that it's by your power, Lord God, and by your word, and we are called to simply proclaim and love our neighbor in that way. We love you, Lord. Bless the Pereiras, Lord, as they go from here, and bless us as we need to speak this good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God.